Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 3 of Real Romance. I'm Robert, and this is Brittany, my wife.
Hello.
And we are the hosts of, in my opinion, the best podcast on undercover capes. But I'm biased. Coming into Season 3 of Real Romance, there's going to be a lot of changes going on, a lot of new things, some content we're really excited for. But for now, we're going to focus on all the stuff we did back in 2020. Like last year, we're going to have an awards-type ceremony where we go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. This first half, we're going to be breaking it up into two halves.
Yeah, we changed it up because last year was all movies, but that's because the season before, all we did was movies. So this year, we added a streaming section. So we'll have two parts, and the first section is going to be all about the streaming things we watched.
Because we had our stream minis last year, and this year, we actually don't know what we're going to call them, but they're not stream minis because clearly these episodes are an hour plus long, and there's nothing mini about that. We've thrown around a lot of things. Couch potatoes, binge, purge. I don't know. There's a lot of things we're bouncing off the wall. So
I said stream vomit, but he didn't like
that's
that.
Disgusting. That's like The Exorcist. It's gross. It reminds me of pea soup.
Have you ever actually eaten pea soup?
I've seen it, and I don't want to eat it. So we have a lot of different categories, and some of these were involved. Well, we didn't really have any themes on stream stuff, except for I think we had one episode that was just horror.
And then we had a superhero episode.
Yeah, so we had two that we only streamed certain types, but overall...
I suppose by streams we mean TV.
Yes.
Because realistically, a lot of our movies were streams this year too. But in general, it would mean TV.
It's shows. These are shows.
So these are all made up categories. We're going to give you 5 in each category, discuss a little bit about them, and then we're going to give you our top 3 in order.
So the first category we have is going to be fun and games, and that both involves game shows and shows about games and sports. This was a very weird year because even though like I was excited about the XFL back in February and March, they immediately kicked it out. And so all of the sporting stuff that we could have had during the main pandemic was gone.
I was happy.
And I was sad.
The only thing that was sad was the Kentucky Derby got pushed, and then by the time it came on...
You'd lost interest.
Yeah, it didn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Luckily, we did get to go to the Kentucky Derby last year, and that was a really fulfilling experience.
I guess it was 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
2019.
2021. It's weird saying that it's out of the shit show that was 2020.
Before the disease. Mm-hmm. That's what our new year is. We should start over, and this should be year one.
Yeah.
AC, after COVID.
After COVID. We're in the year one AC. I like it. The first one we're going to talk about is Supermarket Sweep, because we both watched it on Netflix when it came out as reruns from the 90s, and then it re-came out as Leslie Jones's Baby on ABC over the last few months.
Supermarket Sweep... is pretty much, I mean, it's pretty much exactly what you would think from the name. They're in a fake supermarket, and they have to play games based on supermarket-y themed items, and then they get so much time at the end to shop, and whoever has the highest total, dollar total, gets to play the, like, super sweep.
Right, and there's all sorts of bonuses, there's inflatables, there's shopping lists that you can follow. There's a lot of different ways that people can make bonus money during the game, both in the questions and in
if
the sweep.
If you don't know what Supermarket Sweep is, where you been living?
They got some on Netflix. It's the old stuff, but Leslie Jones's has been really fun. It's different, and it's a little extra.
Okay, so a big thing back in the day was the sweatshirts. You all got, like, but they all got the same sweatshirts. They were just different colors. Now, they get to design their sweatshirts. I don't know if they get to, like, pick from a set number of designs or what, but they all have unique sweatshirts.
I'm thinking they'd tell them, like, this is what we want, and then the wardrobe department kind of modifies the sweatshirts to...
Makes sense. They probably just have a set number of different types and different colors, and then they just...
But it's a really fun... It's probably one of the most physical games shows that we've... seen on TV recently.
Floor is Lava is pretty physical.
Well, yeah, that's true. And that's actually the second one on our list. Floor is Lava. It came out on Netflix and it was kind of a phenomenon. Essentially, there's a big giant obstacle course room and this fake lava all over the floor. And you have to get from
fake?
One...
Fake? It's fake lava?
Well, they show up at the end and they say, we didn't make it. So, they're not dead.
That's the forbidden juice.
But they treat it like real lava, and that's the point.
Do you think it's, like, just water with color, or do you think it's, like, got some kind of,
it might have, like, gelatin or something in it, just to make it a little more viscous.
It looks a little thicker than water, which is what I was thinking, that maybe it's got some kind of extra.
And it definitely looks lava-y. It's definitely, like, reddish-orange. But yeah, you have to get from one side of the room to the other, much like the childhood game. There's a lot of different puzzles and things within the room that you have to solve in order to make it from one side, and you get points based on how many in your party make it across. Really fun show.
They sell a home version now, and I'm like, what do you need a home version for? You just move
imagination. Just imagine it's lava and go with it. What the hell?
I just pulled up a picture because I wanted to remember what it looked like. Yeah, because it's, like, weird and bubbly, and, like, when it bubbles up, it's kind of a different color almost, so.
Mm-hmm. And there's, like, geysers where, like, if you pull a certain lever or do a certain thing, it'll, like, explode, and it makes everything you're trying to walk on really slippery, which makes it that much harder.
I wonder if some of the color comes from, like, lights or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I'm more obsessed with what the lava is than the actual show. The show is good. I like it, but I'm mildly obsessed with finding out what's in that lava.
Next on the list, the Weakest Link. Goodbye.
So, I'm sure most of you have seen the old Weakest Link with...
Don't know her name.
I don't know. The mean, mean lady. That's what I used to think of her as. And then they tried to keep it going after she left with that dude.
I don't remember that one. Did that ever happen?
Yeah, he just wasn't very good.
No wonder I don't remember him.
And then now they have brought it back again with Jane Lynch.
A great choice.
Yeah, she's definitely a good choice with the modern version. I like her.
She throws in a few more jokes, but she's still very much the stickler, hard-ass, you know, get out of my sight kind of.
I imagine, host. You know, watching, it's like, oh, well, how come they just don't bank better? Or how come they don't bank more money? Well, with a host making fun of you after every round, you probably feel some pressure to bank money, and then you mess up, and then you just don't. And then also, they put these weird spotlights on you when it's your turn, which I'm sure increases the anxiety around getting the answer correct.
No, because my thing isn't that, like, oh, shit, I don't know the answer. It's when people, like, act like they know and it's wrong, or they, like, don't know when they throw something that's completely out of left field.
No, that's not what it is.
It's like,
who won
the Nobel Prize? I don't know. Michael Jackson. Like,
for me, it's when they're like, can you repeat the question? And then they still get it super wrong. Or when they just sit there like, just answer the question wrong and get on with it. Time is money. And the longer you sit there just hem-hauling around, the less the questions your teammates can answer.
Yeah, and so just it's also a real bummer when you're going through the line and you don't bank. And then it's just like the easiest question and you don't know it. Like, for me, pop culture is mixed in with things like science and history. So if you're great at science and history, if you're a total nerd, and then they ask you, like, oh, what song by Lady Gaga involves a popular card game? And you're like, oh!
To me...
And he's like, what the hell, man?
This girl did not know what the Macy's Parade... What did she even
say? She said New York store.
Bro, like, what are you even doing?
It's ridiculous. Next one on the list was a YouTube original, and it was actually sponsored by, what was it, Hank Green? No.
No, John. Well, the first season was, the Marvel Olympics were sponsored by DFTBA.
Yeah.
And then the second season that we watched was sponsored by John Oliver.
And so, it's the Marble Olympics, or the Marble Races.
The Marble League.
The Marble League.
Those are the two we watched. There's a ton of them.
Yeah. And essentially, this guy, it's very elaborate. He puts all these different obstacle courses for his marbles, and they're all separated into different colors and types. It is much like the Olympics. They pit them against each other, and the cumulative points at the end wins. It's kind of addictive. It's very fun to watch. We just started a new season of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's only like two or three events out, but we're still rooting for the same old teams. Like, you like the Minty Maniacs. I think I'm going for Crazy Cat Eyes this time around.
I think I'm going to go for the Hazers this time. I like them quite a bit, too.
Really?
Yeah. The Minty Maniacs don't seem like they're performing very well.
Yeah, well, I like the Midnight Wisps, and they're not even that high up. But yeah, there's actually a lot of different teams, and even though they are not people, they are little balls of glass, he treats them as though they are actual teams with personalities.
They have names.
It's really fun to hear the announcer give them backstories. I don't know, it's a fun time killer for me.
Okay, so the last one we watched was We Are the Champions. I mean, it's not the last one we watched. It's just the last one we picked in the category, I suppose.
Yeah.
We watched a bunch of others. And basically, it's just about really weird competitions all across the world.
Right.
Mostly and the U.S., but across the world.
We actually did discuss this, I think, in our either our last or our second to last stream mini, so this should be fresh on some people's minds.
And it's basically stuff like cheese rolling, frog jumping.
Chili eating contests.
Yeah, stuff like
hair that. Hair styling.
It's hosted by Rainn Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good time. It's some good, unique competition, and it's kind of talks about different heritages and why we do that and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right, because you turn on something like ESPN or ABC or somewhere, and you see football, baseball, hockey all the time. It's all the same sports. Golf, tennis. These kind of put a spotlight on things that aren't always or necessarily sports, but they're especially fun to watch, and at least locally, they're a really big tradition, and they mean a lot to a lot of people. Fun and games. What were our top three?
So marbles was number three. Floor is lava was number two.
Mm-hmm.
And number one was, should I drum roll?
Sure. Beautiful.
Supermarket sweep!
Woo! Yeah, I actually, my vote was for floor of lava is lava, but you'll find out that most of the tiebreakers went to Brittany because,
whatever.
I don't want to die. I don't want to get in trouble. So, supermarket sweep, the winner.
To the best. Okay. I'm going to be on it one day.
Oh, for sure. Well, we're going to be on it one day. Who are you going to choose? Your sister?
You're right. She's slow.
Which one?
Both.
Exactly. Okay. Docuseries is next. So these are all the documentary series that we watched. And there were quite a few of these. Just because on streaming services, it was really popular to put stuff out. The first one we wanted to talk about was 100 Humans. And this was really early in the year, probably right when the pandemic started.
We weren't sure if this was considered a docuseries or not, but we put it in there anyway.
Well, I think it is because it's a social experiment. They take 100 humans of all sorts of different backgrounds, race, age, religion, etc. And they just put them in generic, tests or situations to find out how people react.
Experiments is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, but I mean, I already said the word experiment.
Well, that's what they are.
Yeah, and so they go in, and it's like, okay, how many jumping jacks can you do? How do you solve these puzzles? Can you stay awake at night? How do you wipe your ass? Like just stuff like that that people are curious about. Like, are older people, do they have more memory?
They did a test where they saw if older people smelled different.
Mm-hmm. Versus young people, yeah.
It was fascinating. I hope they put out another season with new people and more tests, and it would be cool.
Yeah, because you don't really get to know any one particular human, but you see enough of them, like, in passing and in interviews, that you get to know some of their personalities, and it's really fun being like, oh, these are just normal-ass people. This one's from Nebraska, this one's from Florida. Like, cool. Next one was a pretty big phenomenon.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It was everywhere. Celebrities were watching it.
And this was pre-COVID. Like,
no, this was during COVID.
No, they did the follow-ups during COVID, but like I think it actually really took off in February.
It was March, because remember, we watched it right around the beginning.
You're right.
You were on quarantine.
Yes. This was The Tiger King. What is it? Murder, mayhem, and mishaps or something like that?
Something silly like that.
Oh, God. Okay. Everyone knows what it is. But in a nutshell, Joe Exotic has a farm, an exotic park.
He had a farm. Joe Exotic had a farm.
E-I-E-I-O, in jail. He had tigers and lions and exotic cats that
Bears.
He would...
Oh my.
And he would exploit them for money, and there were a lot of accidents that happened, and there was a lot of drama that happened with other parks, such as...
Carol Baskin's
park.
Killed her husband. Whacked him.
There was another guy.
I don't know.
I forget his name. He was
Doc
Ansel, but he wasn't really
that
important.
That's what I call him, the dick.
But they all kind of exploit the tigers even as babies. And
they definitely exploit the tigers.
They mistreat them like from birth, but they made a lot of money at it because people love baby tigers and they'll do anything to take photos.
R.I.P. Siegfried.
Oh, yeah. Siegfried and Roy just died a while back.
Kind of another animal. Questionable. We won't talk about that.
But that was different because he was in front of everybody, so it's okay. They had national attention, so it's all right.
He was less bad. I don't think he killed any of his tigers.
No, but he did inbreed them at, like, hell to get them all to be,
In case y'all don't know, in order to get white tigers on a regular basis, you have to inbreed them. And it causes all sorts of deformities.
Yeah, but long story short, there's a ton of drama behind it. Joe Exotic tried running for, like, governor, and he had gay lovers, and Carol Baskin, like, definitely did murder her husband.
We can't say that.
Okay. She was definitely on Dancing with the Stars.
If you say stuff like that, she could sue you. And we already know she'd be suing people.
Oh, okay. Carol Baskin has reportedly
been under investigation
for definitely murdering her husband. Okay.
We gonna get in trouble.
People would have to listen to us for us to get in trouble.
Don't tell anybody.
Listen, but don't share. With Carol Baskin, please. Alright, next on the list, Marvel 616.
So Marvel 616 is basically a series just talking about different things in Marvel, like female comic writers, people of color writers. Mm-hmm.
Cosplay and
toys.
And Japanese Spider-Man.
Which was really cool. And what was that other one?
There's one about theater.
Unique Marvel characters that kind of don't work.
Yeah. So there were, I think, 8 episodes of it. Marvel 616 is different than the others that we are talking about because we're already big fans of Marvel, while the other ones were relatively new information to us for the most part. So, like, me, I love the X-Men, I love Marvel, but I'd never really heard of, you know, some of the writers. Well, I knew of the writers, but I didn't know very much about them. For instance, did you know what the Marvel method of writing comics was before this?
No, I don't read comics.
And do you know what it is now?
Yes.
Vaguely?
Sort of.
You learned something a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. But Japanese Spider-Man was a huge one for me. I loved that one. And just kind of watching them explore what makes Marvel unique was definitely fun for me.
So, the next documentary series on our list was Absurd Planet.
I don't remember much about this one.
This one was basically a nature documentary, but, like, the host told really funny jokes.
Mm.
And you remember there was, like, the Mayfly songs?
Yes.
That was really fun.
That was really fun and funny. I agree.
And it was informative. Unlike some of the other fake documentaries, it actually told you facts about the animals.
But in a really goofy, fun way. And I think it was pretty kid-friendly, too. They didn't swear too much.
No. There was an episode on, like, animal sex, I think, but...
Yeah, but even then, they weren't, like, explicit.
Yeah.
The last show that we watched, was this on Netflix, too?
We watched a lot of Netflix this year.
Yeah. It was I Am a Killer, and it's all about people who've been sent to death row for murder. And it's kind of an inside look into their personal stories about how they got convicted, why they're in prison.
I mean, yeah, that's the basics of it.
I mean, there was a lot to go on. Each episode was different. And I don't necessarily remember a single one. I know that there was one lady who ended up killing her boyfriend.
There was that one guy who, like, killed his adopted dad because he was, like, abusing them.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Didn't he kill his mother?
Oh, he killed his grandparents.
Yeah, that was it.
Some of them were really... Well, most of them were really sad, honestly.
Right, because even though they killed them and they were on death row, it wasn't just like they were cold-hearted serial killers. Like, some of them were very situational.
Yeah.
And often they, like, stumbled into it.
Almost none of these were Ted Bundys.
Yeah. They weren't like, I went in and I wanted to kill him and so I killed him. Like, it was like, hey, wrong place, wrong time.
I think there was even that one guy who was on death row who he hadn't even actually killed anyone. He was just like... there when someone went in and killed someone, so he ended up being like the getaway driver on accident or something.
Yeah.
And he was still like on death row, which I thought was messed up, and he was like 16 or something. Yeah. When it happened.
And can I just say the prison system is just totally screwed up, and it really is unfair to people who ought not be treated that way.
Yeah. It sucks.
It's not great, and I feel bad for the people who are in this show. Alright, so top 3 documentaries. Number 3, Absurd Planet, because it was funny. It was one of the funnier documentaries we watched.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, second place, is Marvel 616, because who doesn't love Japanese Spider-Man? And number 1 is the cultural phenomenon Tiger King, because, come on, Joe Exotic was pretty wild.
I mean, it was really funny.
It was crazy. Like, everyone was talking about it.
So the next category is sort of similar, but... it's reality shows, mm-hmm. So it's sort of similar, but also not similar.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these actually, well, not a lot of them. A couple of them came on network TV, and we rewatched them on something like Hulu. But
most of them were Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix was killing it on the reality this year.
So good. I really enjoyed it.
So the first one we're going to talk about was 90 Day Fiancé, which was a journey. It's before the 90 days is what this one that we watched.
Yeah, but it was such a marathon to get through it. Like, you bounce between, like, 12 different couples.
Why are the episodes so long?
They're like an hour and 40 minutes a piece.
And nothing and good happens in most of
and
them.
And the episode season is, like, 18 episodes long. You're like, the fuck? This is like the MCU. This is so long.
I ain't got time to watch a movie every time I want to watch an episode of reality TV.
I really don't care that much about these people, but you have to know because it's so damn ridiculous.
Well, some of them I was like, I want to know. I wonder if Varya and Joffrey or Jeffrey or whatever.
Jeffrey.
His dumbass spelling. I wonder if they're still together.
No, see, we started watching this because I saw clips of Big Ed and, what is it, Rosemary?
Yeah.
I saw things of Big Ed, that human thumb of a man, just going around and being the creepiest, rudest guy. But some of them were hot messes. We also had,
Usman. Usman? Something like that.
God.
And that blonde bitch.
Oh, she was a bitch. I hated her so much. She was so rude.
I understand that it was a culture shock and it's not like America.
No, it's just her personality.
But, yeah, and she also came over to another culture and was like, I don't respect your culture, basically.
Yeah, it's like, this hotel is crap. I don't want to spend time with your family. Your friends are too judgmental. What do you mean that I'm not supposed to be my own woman with you? Like, they were raised under a patriarchal society. The men make the decisions. You're from America. You don't fit in here, right?
Yeah, no.
Lisa. I'm in love with you. Everything I take, get you want with me, girl. It was bad. But it was a very fun show, addicting, but extremely too long. Okay, so the next show was Marrying Millions, which is kind of similar to 90 Day Fiancé, except it has to do with a really big age difference or a really big wealth disparity. There are some that were clearly sugar babies, right? Like 21, 22-year-old ladies dating these 60-year-old guys.
The one wasn't too bad, that dude, and she wasn't that much younger than him. That one dude and his dad didn't want them to get married.
Yeah.
That was so dramatic.
And the thing is, it was on again, off again. And so clearly it wasn't all about the money. There was clearly some good feelings there.
Well, they also had a child together.
Yeah.
So it didn't really matter whether they had a prenup or not. Like, if they got divorced or whatever, she was going to get alimony.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was one. And he was a rapper.
Child support.
Yeah, there was one rapper, and he had all this money.
But did he?
He ended up cutting out of the series midway through because they, like, started to uncover that he may not be as rich as he was letting on. And he didn't want that to be on camera. And so he just kind of, like, bounced. Another guy, he was a construction worker. He lived with his parents. And the lady he wanted to be with was quite well off. She ended up, like, you know, being a runaway bride. Because he just wasn't good for her.
No. In case you're wondering, the prenup couple, they are still together.
Oh, that's good. I don't know. There's something about these couples. I feel like they're there for a reason. Like, they're on the show because it's a genuine thing. I honestly can't take those sorts of relationships seriously.
Oh, do you remember the mom that was, like, dating her daughter's friend?
Oh, God. Yeah.
That was weird.
Didn't they end up breaking it off because it was too weird?
Well, they're broken up now, so...
Well, if they were together,
I think they
were
together at the end, but
not for very long.
That was weird because it didn't seem like they had anything in common. It's one thing to date someone older than you. You know, sometimes you have older interests and whatnot. But like, if you're dating your daughter's friend, that's weird to me. Like, if you're gonna date someone your daughter's age, fine. But don't be dating her friends. That is weird.
It's like, hey, I used to pick you up from high school lacrosse. Nah, stop it. Okay. The next three are actually on Netflix, and I believe they're still on Netflix, and you can watch them at any time, and they're all a hot mess. Too Hot to Handle was about a lot of people who absolutely thrive on being promiscuous. They're sleeping around all the time.
Oh, that was weird.
With a lot of different people, and so they go onto this island full of other hot, horny people, and they make money by not having sex.
They're like, they can't even kiss each other, really.
Yeah, and they... Like, they're supposed to be relationship building and getting to know each other and doing these bonding games. And then it's like, you can't play hide the pickle. Okay, the Boom Boom Room is a thing on Are You the One? right?
I miss that show. Is it canceled? Probably.
I don't know. Maybe. But, like, there are shows that are dating that are specifically designed to have them run off and have sex. And that's part of the drama. But the main drama in this show is trying to get them to not have sex.
Some of them broke.
They lose money a lot by doing it. A very fun show for me. I really enjoyed it.
I wonder if any of them are still together. There was that whole drama with that one couple.
Oh, God.
It was a thing.
I don't see any of them being in long-lasting relationships.
No.
Not at
maybe,
all.
But maybe they learned their lesson, and now they found capable of finding someone after that. Maybe.
I don't know. The opposite side of that argument is Love is Blind, and that has nothing to do with the way you look.
The complete opposite.
It is essentially a matchmaking service where they all meet a ton of different people, and based on their personalities alone, they decide who they want to marry. And so they end up getting engaged without ever seeing the other person. And over the next 45 days, they have to live together, know each other's family, know each other's mannerisms, really, you know, dive into a loving relationship after never having met the person. And then at the end of the 45 days, they get married.
Well, they don't have to.
Some of them do. But they can either, like, you know, kick out or they can get married.
At the end, only, like, two couples got married.
Right. And one actually kicks out at the very beginning, before the experiment even really starts, because he comes out as bisexual, and she felt like that was something he definitely should have disclosed at the beginning, prior to having made the decision, and it was just a whole toxic thing. Each of the couples has their own ups and downs. God, Jessica and Mark.
God.
A mess. Because the whole time...
Stop.
The whole time, Jessica, she's, like, pining after this other guy, who paired off with somebody, but she paired off with Mark, who is in love with her, but also 10 years her younger, right? She's 34, mm-hmm. He's 24, and she's convinced herself that it's just not going to work because that's not the type of guy she goes after. And
because Jessica was a hoe.
And then she ends up, like, shooting the relationship in the foot solely because of her own, like, mental hang-ups.
I was checking to see which couples are still together. Sorry.
Oh, God. Okay.
Lauren and Cameron.
Cameron.
And Cameron. Lauren and Cameron are still together.
Yes.
You know, crazily enough, it's actually been 2 years for them. Like, we just saw the show last year, but they'd already been married over a year before the show even, like,
came out.
So they just celebrated their 2-year anniversary recently.
Good for them.
Let's see. Amber and Barnett are surprisingly
still together. Awesome.
I can't believe that.
I can't. I thought they had great chemistry.
Did you?
Yeah, crazy attract crazy. They literally like each other.
I'm just not gonna say.
They liked each other, and I liked them as a couple.
Cameron and Lauren were a great couple. I'm glad that they're
still together. Yeah, Mark moved on and has a new lady in his life, or at least when we caught up with them at the end of season roundup. And I, good for him. Fuck Jessica.
Yeah, no, Mark is, his fiance and him are expecting a baby. They just recently announced.
See, good things are happening for him. Jessica can suck it.
Look, my biggest problem with Jessica is that she just, like, I understand wanting what you want. That's fine. But don't pretend like you're okay with it and then be like, nah. Like, my thing with her, it wasn't that she was just a horrible person or anything. It's just she kept, like, stringing along. And she kept saying things about Barnett, who clearly picked someone else.
She was hung up on him pretty hard.
And I was just like, girl, just, if you don't want Mark, that's fine. But, like,
stop
playing games.
Yeah. The last episode, or not the last episode, the last show in the reality category is The Circle, which is probably our favorite of the Netflix shows. It's all about people who create an online persona, and they go in, and they're kind of in a penthouse, but they never get to interact with each other. And solely based on who they are on their social profiles, they have to become popular amongst the others. And throughout the show, new people show up. And people who are less popular get voted off. And at the end, it comes down to like 5 people. And whoever has the most votes, whoever's the most popular at the end, wins like $50,000 or something. And this was a really fun one. And you still follow some of the people on social because it's really fun kind of seeing their personality shine through.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with Seaburn. Seaburn played someone else. He actually went in masquerading as his girlfriend, and so as a female he was able to kind of explore popularity in a different way and appeal to people and trick people into trusting him, which was really funny,
including Shoe Bomb.
Oh god, Shuby. Shuby was so pure.
He really thought that Seaburn was real.
No, he went into this like, I've never done social media. I was raised in a very conservative family. He said, my strategy going in is to just be as honest and as, not pure, but
open.
As open as I possibly can and be genuine, and hopefully they like me for who I am. And he actually gets really far in the game that way, which is kind of shocking when there's so much backstabbing involved.
Joey was cotton mouse. I hated Joey in the first episode.
At first, he was a prick. Because he was kind of pining after all the hot girls when they're all fake. Like, even if they're real people, you don't know if it's a real girl, so quit saying, ooh, she's hot. Maybe she's...
Maybe she is, maybe she's not.
Maybe she looks like me, or maybe she looks like Brittany. And you don't know because it's a picture on the internet. Kind of plays into that whole catfishing thing.
I forget that one girl's name. Sammy. Sammy and Chris. Remember Chris? Chris was that gay guy that was super fun.
Oh, he was fabulous. But he was religious, too. He was from Dallas, Texas. And I really liked Chris, but Sammy was the only girl who made it from start to finish. And, I mean, kudos to her.
I mean, Rebecca.
Rebecca did, but that was really Seaburn. But along the way, there's all sorts of different people. There's nerds. There was one who was actually a mom and son couple.
Yeah.
Who, like, worked together under his, like, face to try to convince them that they were okay. And they got voted off pretty quick. They weren't around very long.
But it was just
Adam
fun.
Adam was really Alex. It's just, it was a really fun experiment. And that's why The Circle takes the number one spot on reality show. The next best was Too Hot to Handle for me because it was just a fun, horny mess.
I voted Love is Blind, but we put that third because I got to pick the last tiebreaker.
Yeah, but Too Hot to Handle was really fun, but so was Love is Blind. But The Circle was like quarantine gold.
The
Circle.
I don't know why there's not another episode out. It seems like something they could film, like, in quarantine. It's not like there's a lot of interaction.
Yeah. The Circle is definitely something that you could do even in a very limited facility. So now we're kind of moving away from real people doing real things, and we're going into strictly fictional TV.
Right.
Things that have been scripted. And we're going to start with comedy. Right? Comedy's always fun. No, not always. Some of the ones that we watched weren't that funny.
Most of the stuff that we watched and talked about on the podcast was stuff that we really enjoyed. Because if we didn't enjoy it, we just didn't finish it. Yeah. We had a couple that we didn't finish, but we just didn't really talk about them that much.
Yeah. Just recently, Animaniacs came out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a not a reboot, but it's kind of like a long-awaited continuation of the Animaniacs show from the 90s. And it has all the original voice cast and the original animators. And Steven Spielberg is behind it, so the writing and directing is just crazy good. What do you have to say about it?
I mean, I liked it. I hope they make another season. I can't imagine they won't. Everyone...
Well, I think they actually signed up for 2 seasons.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it talks about that in the thing. So.
But we get Pinky and the Brain, and we get the Animaniacs, and a couple of other little shorts. But overall, the best part about this was the fact that they retained that original Animaniacs feel and design of the cartoon while throwing in really modern jokes and pop culture references. And they referenced, like, wow. Back when we left, the internet wasn't a thing. And now, it's everywhere. Like, it's so prevalent, you can't get away from internet and the news in your face all the time. It makes fun of Trump. It makes fun of Russians.
It makes fun of pretty much everything. Gun control.
Old horror movies. Like, there's so many...
A lot of Spielberg movies.
Yeah. Like, it's just... It's a really fun, good time. And I laughed. I definitely... Probably my favorite cartoon that I've watched this year.
So the next one was an older show, but something we really liked, we'd never seen any of it before, was Community, which is basically about this group of people that form a study group at their community college, and they're all at the community college for one reason or another.
Hashtag 6 seasons in a movie.
When are they going to get that movie? Everybody else got a reboot this year.
They're not going to bring Chevy Chase back, but everyone else, come on, I'm in.
I need Abed and Troy.
Abed and Troy. No, Troy and Abed in the morning. But yeah, so there's a lot of really fun inside jokes, a lot of running gags. Joel McHale is hilarious in this. Yvette Nicole Brown does a really great job. There's some really fun... Alison Brie, she's a great balance for Abed and Troy. And even the dean becomes a much more central figure, and he is very funny. I wish we'd watched this while we were in college. It was airing while we were in college. It would have been perfect and funny and really relevant to what we were doing. And instead we were, I don't know, going to class and shit. Like, we're studying for class.
We couldn't afford a lot of stuff. We didn't have a DVR for a while.
It was like the first two seasons of Community, we didn't have a DVR. And so by the time we did get one, it was more about recording new shows. And we didn't really want to jump in midway through.
It was a lot harder for us to catch up on stuff back then.
Yeah, streaming wasn't really as much of a thing.
I mean, it was, but
we didn't want to pay for it all.
Let's put it this way. We had Netflix, but we had the DVD subscription, you remember?
Yeah.
And, like, we could stream some stuff, but most of it was stuff that they would send us a DVD.
We'd watch it and send it back.
And we would get, like, two of those a week.
That's how old we are. We are send the DVD back in the mail old.
Some of these youngins are like, DVDs? When did they send DVDs?
Blockbuster, what's that? Like,
there's still a Blockbuster open. I think it's in, like, Oregon or something.
Yeah. I guess.
You can rent it like an Airbnb style.
That is so weird. Community, just a really fun show. And even though some of the jokes fall flat sometimes, overall, the show as a whole is really
fun. Especially the first three seasons. Yeah. Those were the best.
I think starting in season three, it starts going downhill, but especially five and six. After Troy left, after Chevy Chase left, even though he was toxic as shit.
Four wasn't very good. And then 5 was better than 4, but then 6 was meh.
Meh. Like, I like the old man that replaced Chevy Chase's character, but season 6, they're like, well, we got another lady, and we got an older guy, and he's black, so there's a minority, ooh, right? Because I felt like they always wanted to have the same dynamic as far as, like, the racial and age demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And Chang was always there, and Chang's, his storyline was all over the place. Like, I felt like he needed more of an even path.
Yeah, his... Let's be honest.
Changnesia was wrong.
That was bad.
All right, we gonna move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Good Omens came on... Was it Amazon Prime?
Yes.
Okay. Good Omens...
It's kind of a comedy, kind of not, but we thought it was funny enough to put it in this category.
Yeah, we kind of thought about putting it into horror or sci-fi, but it had enough good laughs that it earned its place in comedy for us. And that's essentially an angel, Aziraphale, and a demon, Crowley. They have been around since the beginning of time, and they're essentially trying to bring in the Antichrist. Aziraphale's trying to stop it, while Crowley is trying to make sure that everything goes properly, but because they're friends, they keep kind of, like, getting in each other's way to kind of push things along, so that they can continue being friends. Yeah, the friends.
Are they friends, or are they...
They're friends. They're not lovers.
I think they kind of are.
They have a bromance.
The two leads said that they were playing it that way.
Yeah. But not sexually, though.
Well, they don't really touch. They're angels and demons.
Yeah.
But, like, the two leads said they were playing it as, like, they were kind of a couple. So.
Kind of like star-crossed lovers.
Yeah, sort of.
Never the two should be together. But it's really fun. There's witches involved. There's witch hunters. There's a kid who has a hellhound as a pet. A lot of really goofy gags. And an amazing Queen soundtrack throughout the entire season, which I applaud. I loved it. It was really good. I believe they're making a season 2. They lined it up for it, even though this was based on a book that did not have a sequel. I think Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman are working together to try to come up with a good storyline for the second season. So at least that has...
We'll see.
I think there's some good potential there to move forward. Overall, season 1, if you have a chance, if you have Amazon Prime, check out Good Omens because it's...
Good job.
I caught myself. I didn't just keep going. Check out Good Omens because it is a fun one.
You know why I think they're in a relationship? Because they suggest that they run off together when the apocalypse is coming. They're like, let's just run off together.
Yeah?
What best friends are like, let's run away together?
Thelma and Louise.
They were lesbians too.
They weren't lesbians.
How do you know?
They slept with Brad Pitt.
Bisexual. They slept together at the same time?
No, I think one of them slept with Brad Pitt.
I've never seen the movie. I don't know.
I vaguely remember it.
So the next one on the list is Kim's Convenience. Which, I'm super pumped for the next season. I know they started filming it. Who knows when it'll come to Netflix, though. It's going to take forever.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's about the Kim family, and they run a convenience store in
Roll
Canada.
Credits.
I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, there's Appa and Uma.
Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad in Korean.
And then Janet and
Jong. And then his friend Kimchi.
Yeah, Kimchi's my favorite.
Yeah. And then Jong kind of has a love interest named Shannon, but not really.
Well, no, they're together now. They were together at the end of last season.
And doesn't Janet get with her?
Sort of. Remember?
Yeah, like he runs off to go do some overseas shit.
And they kiss, and then they're like,
Well, we gotta go. See you in a few months. Like, ugh, that's such a cliffhanger. I think this is a really funny show.
Oma might be dying.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. Don't remind me of that shit.
Sorry.
This is a really funny show because it's very situational, and it reminds you of your family. Like, maybe not your specific family, but you go in, and you're like, see, that's a very dad thing to say. Oh, what an overbearing mom. That's something that a mom would do. And that's what makes it funny.
I love seeing different families from different backgrounds, races, religions on TV.
Locations, because Canada is very different. Very quickly, because we're not going to go into it until the first stream mini. But we've been watching another Canada show on, what is it, Hulu?
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say that it is absolutely hilarious. And if you want to be up to date with us for when we do stream mini number one, or what's going to be the equivalent of a stream mini,
mm-hmm.
go watch Letterkenny.
You will
it's
regret
a hoot.
It.
It is.
We're going to watch at least the first two seasons.
Oh, God. We're almost all the way through the first two seasons, but they're short seasons and short episodes, and it's kind of hard to follow along, but it is very, very fun.
All right, pitter patter.
Okay. Back to Kim's Convenience.
We basically...
Pitter patter, let's get at her.
We basically discussed the premise.
Yeah, Kim's Convenience, we had it in two different episodes in 2020, so go back, listen through all our other stuff, because I know that we went into depth on those.
So the last one, we weren't sure what else to put in here, because there were some other comedies we watched, but we just wanted to put this one in here, because we love it. Bob's Burgers.
We watch Bob's Burgers all the time.
We're just like, I don't feel so good. What are we going to watch? And we just turn on Bob's Burgers, mm-hmm.
It's a feel-good cartoon.
It's so comforting.
Yeah, because much like Kim's Convenience, it's about a family business. They're, even though it is kind of outlandish and stupid, they feel real, though. Yeah, no, Bob is very, you know, grounded and realistic, and Linda's just overly optimistic to the point of kind of being annoying, but also very lovable. And the kids have very unique and distinct personalities.
Tina's very into boys' butts.
Yeah, and Louise is the youngest, and she's like a little demon child, but we love her.
Whatever, Louise is the best.
I stand by what I said. And then Gene is like, he wants to be a little musician, but he also loves farts and sex jokes because he's like 10 or 11. So it's very on brand for a kid his age. Oh, and it's very musical. Like, every single episode has at least one original song.
Not every episode, but I like it when they do. And I always feel like the music isn't, like, forced.
No. And sometimes, what they'll do is they'll introduce the song in the episode just as like a, I'm going to the grocery store. And then, like, at the very end, when they're doing the credits, they'll turn that into, like, a big musical number. Like, that's what I like. It doesn't have to be a full-on song during the show. But then the end credit song is that. And that's really fun for me. All right, honey. So how would you like to place these?
So we put third, we put Good Omens.
Because it's not a strict comedy, but still
it's very, still really good.
Very good show.
For second, we put Kim's Convenience because we love that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then in first place, we put Animaniacs because they had a very strong comeback. And we're looking forward to so much more.
And I honestly thought it might be kind of hokey and weird, but they pushed it so hard, and we weren't disappointed. And it's so easy to disappoint us in 2020. The whole year has been a big fucking disappointment. So having them come out guns blazing,
I loved it. It was fantastic. All right, so the next category is sci-fi. We thought about having sci-fi drama, but we just didn't have enough drama, so we just ended up making it sci-fi, because those ended up being all the favorite shows anyway.
Right,
because
it's like, do we want to throw in a drama show? Fuck drama. I don't want drama. I want to see The Mandalorian.
Which was the first one on our list.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a Western about Star Wars.
Yeah, because the reason this is kind of at the top of our list is because we watched it at the very ass end of 2019 into 2020. And then at the very end of 2020 is when the second season came out, and it just ended prior to Christmas.
Bro, so, that last scene, though.
Dude, like, the last two or three episodes, actually.
All right, but, like, who else is standing Sebastian Stan being Luke Skywalker?
I honestly think this is kind of going to be the end of Baby Yoda's storyline.
What?
I think that they may reference him once or twice, but I think they're going to focus more on
Why would you even say that?
What?
Why would you say that?
Because it's the truth.
That's his son.
Yeah, and I'm sure midway through season three, he'll want to come back because of a distress call or some shit. But instead of being like, this is the Baby Yoda show, which by the way, his name is Grogu now. This is the Baby Yoda show. It's going to be more like, this is the Mando show, since his name is on the title card. But oh yeah, he also, Big Daddy Energy.
Yeah, but like, it would be nice to see more Luke Skywalker doing stuff. Because, like, they talked about it in the new movies, but it was just like, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, I worry about putting Luke Skywalker into it too much, because I still want this to be centric on what they have. What if they
gave him his own little mini, like, limited spin-off series?
What, kind of like Boba Fett?
The Book of Boba Fett? Like that. Like a one season, like, this is what's going on, this is what they're doing kind of thing.
Right, because not only did this show end on a really high note, but it also is going to kind of spin off into the Ahsoka Tano show.
I know we spoiled it, but I mean, and where you been?
You could have already seen it if you really wanted to know. But it's going to spin off into Ahsoka Tano show and Boba Fett's mini. There's also going to be a lot of other Star Wars stuff. There's something like 8 or 9 shows in addition to the ones we mentioned. So really, there's no shortage of Star Wars content on Disney Plus. And Mandalorian was what kept us sane in the year of our Lord 2020.
But there was no Marvel, so
that was a real bummer. But I mean, in lieu of other superhero-y stuff, we did have shows like The Boys. The Boys season 2. We're not going to run through the whole thing, but superhero dickheads are running the show, and these other non-superpowered dickheads,
the boys,
they're trying to make sure that they don't be more dickish all over the place.
Basically, it's a competition to who can be less of a dick.
Yeah, and turns out it's always a tie. Because they're all terrible.
No, it's not always a tie. It's
Homelander.
It's Homelander. It's Homelander. Definitely Homelander. He wins every time.
No, I don't know. Him and Stormfront, like, you know, there's spoilers here.
Stormfront is dead, though.
She's such a fucking... She's a Nazi. Like, literal Nazis. That's true. Like, I'm an American! And I'm like, social commentary. Right?
Then at the end of the season, even Homelander was like, that's a little far.
Yeah, it's really bad.
When Homelander's like, that's a little much, you know that's too much.
Mm-hmm. Love Sausage was hilarious. Lamplighter was great.
I was kind of sad that we didn't see more Lamplighter.
Yeah, but we're gonna see Soldier Boy in season 3, which is going to be played by Jensen the one and only. I'm so ready. I'm ready to see him now that Supernatural's over.
Guarantee we're going to talk at least a little bit about Walker on the next episode. The next show we watched was also superhero-y. It was called Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched season 1 earlier this year, and then we watched season 2. That was the one I was thinking.
Because, see, we also watched Legend of Tomorrow 2 seasons, and we watched 2 seasons of Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
So,
but not The Boys.
But not The Boys. That one we'd already kind of caught up on.
So Doom Patrol is basically these misfit sort of anti-heroes.
Yeah.
Like they all have different powers, and they're not really a team per se, but they are kind of now. So
it's like if DC Heroes had a trash bin, and they were like, oh, well, let's make a show about the trash bin heroes.
They're like, what have we got? Well, we got a man that's like a robot. Okay, Robot Man. Like,
And this guy who has, like, some sort of negative entity inside of, boom, Negative Man.
Right.
She's Elastic. Elastigirl. It did come out in the 60s and 70s, right? So, it is an older team.
They didn't exactly have a bunch of names there.
Right, but instead of pulling Beast Boy like they had in the originals, they went with Cyborg, and they went with a newer character.
Yeah, Crazy Jane.
Yeah, and it's just a really fun show. Season 2 kind of fell off a bit. But season 1 was really, really strong, and I loved Alan Tudyk as Mr. Nobody.
I would like to see Alan Tudyk back again.
Yeah, he might be a nice addition in season 3.
He's got a new show coming up at the end of this month, too. It probably won't be out in time for us to talk about it.
Is that the one about the alien sheriff?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited
for
that one.
He's not a sheriff, he's a detective. He's a
detective, but still. It sounds really fun. But yeah, Doom Patrol was a solid show, and if not for great shows like Boys, like, it would be top spot, definitely. It's just, it is worth watching, but not the best.
So the next show we watched was The Witcher, which was also kind of a thing early on when it was pretty popular when it was coming out.
Throw a coin to The Witcher.
I mean,
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill. I haven't seen a boy with long blonde hair look that hot since Orlando Bloom was in Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
I'm just saying.
All right. I know I shit on DC and Man of Steel, Superman.
Henry Cavill's amazing.
Oh, no, he is great. And that's the thing. It's like, I think the writing and the overall theme of the Justice League films are a little dark, and it kind of takes away from the character of Superman. But Henry Cavill does an amazing job.
I think they were giving Henry Cavill a disservice by playing Superman the way they did.
Yeah, he could have been such a good Boy Scout, but instead they kind of turned him into a darker, grittier character, and I didn't
like that. They didn't even make him darker and grittier, they just made him bland.
Yeah, that's true. Not a whole lot of character growth, especially in Batman versus Superman. In The Witcher, he plays Geralt.
He plays The Witcher.
Yeah, and essentially he's like an immortal who beats up and kills all of the supernatural beings that plague this area.
I don't know if he's immortal or if he's just really long-lived. He lives long enough to make it seem that way.
Yeah, he's kind of like Wolverine, only Superman.
There are two other main characters. There's Yennefer.
Mm-hmm, with a Y, which is weird.
Yennefer, not Jennifer.
I know, but I always thought it was them were saying Jennifer, but saying it like Yennefer, like the Y, like
oh.
Like it was like, and you know how in Spanish, like J's yeah. have a Y sound. I thought they were pronouncing it that way, and I'm like, that's.
And
weird.
Then there's that little girl. I forget her name.
Yeah.
But basically, by the end of the season, they've all finally. It's kind of weird because the show is told in like a weird timeline.
The first few episodes are all over the place, and then by like episode 5 or 6, they start to converge.
And once you understand the timeline, it makes a whole lot more sense.
Until then, it's very confusing.
It's pretty confusing, but I'm really looking forward to season 2. I just know that Henry Cavill, he was sleeping in his costume so that it would like look more worn and stuff, and like he was doing all kinds of stuff. He played the game for like hours. That game is a long game.
Yeah, no, so we bought the game because of the show. Did we finish it?
No.
No way. It's such a long game. But we did play it for a little while and we did enjoy it. The game is pretty close to what we saw in the show.
I mean, as far as feel wise, I think it's a different storyline that they were going off
yeah,
of. But yeah.
But the overall like tone felt correct. I felt the effects were great for what it was. Oftentimes when they try to adapt video game stuff, it does not work out. And this one did work.
I think it was great. I'm really looking forward to season 2.
And the last one on our list is one I just previously mentioned, was Umbrella Academy, which is another superhero show. So
sort of.
Are they superheroes?
They're anti-heroes again.
No, because I mean like on this list, it's called sci-fi. And 3 of the 5 involve superhero themes. And 1 is Star Wars and 1 is The Witcher. 3 out of 5... superhero-y.
Yeah,
that's about where
enough.
We're at. But Umbrella Academy, we're 2 seasons in. Essentially, they're all the same age. They were born on the same day. And they all have superpowers. And in the first season, they stop the apocalypse only to have them blast.
No, they don't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They create the apocalypse.
They create the apocalypse and then they avoid it by going back in time to the 60s. And they have to try to avoid another apocalypse caused by essentially the same thing. Because these kids cannot stop fucking
up.
They
never learn.
They never learn. Because they're all fucked up. They're just normal human beings that are trying to get by with their weird power sets.
Right.
Like, you know, 5, he can teleport through space and time. You know, you got the super strong man. You have the one who can...
force people to do whatever she wants.
Right, that's what I was thinking of.
So, but stuff like that.
But it's a really fun show and it kind of dives into the period piece of the 60s really well. You liked the first season better.
I did.
Why?
It was more mystery. Like, we didn't know as much about them. And I felt like the... What is it? The, like, the big bad time-traveling unit guys. Like, they were just... I don't know. I didn't like it
as good.
Plus, I liked the guy that played Hazel, I think his name was.
And he was gone in, like, episode 1.
He's fantastic. He's also in Mindhunter, where he plays Ed Kemper. And he does a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. So how would you rate these?
Well, I think the third one would be The Witcher, because it was just a really good video game adaptation, and it felt like the world building was really
different.
Good. Yeah, it was different than the other stuff we watched.
I feel like The Witcher was what Cursed wanted to be.
Yeah, and we watched like 2 or 3 episodes of Cursed.
We couldn't get into
it. We couldn't jump in too far. Second place was The Boys. It was, I don't want to say by far, but it was...
It was amazing.
An extremely good superhero representation. And it was also made by the same showrunner of the original few episodes, or seasons, of Supernatural, Eric Kripke. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with that sort of mind behind it, it's going to be phenomenal. And number one is The Mandalorian, because it took the nation and even the world by storm with its cute Baby Yoda merch. And good stories. You don't like Star Wars.
No, I don't.
But you like this show.
I would die for Baby Yoda.
And that alone, being able to turn a non-fan into a fan, is enough to get my vote. Also, Ahsoka Tano is going to be fucking phenomenal. I loved her in this show, and I'm so glad that they did a good job on this character.
All
that I've heard
female
so much about.
Characters in this were really good.
Oh, yeah. Bo-Katan and, God, what's her name? The one played by Ming-Na.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they do such a good job. There's a really great... shut up. There's a really great scene in that last episode where there's four female leads, Gina Carano and Bo-Katan and all these, and they're just going and fucking shit up on this stormtrooper base.
Okay, but I have one question.
Shoot.
If she got a robot middle, how's she poop?
Well, I'm assuming she just has, like, a little blender in there that... that she gets the nutrients and then it's like because
you could like see through it and stuff. Yeah. Does it? Her poop just falls out of her tongue.
Boop.
Ew.
She just walks around and just falls out like a horse. Boop boop boop. Just fucking doesn't even care.
That's gross.
Okay, so speaking of gross, we've got horror up next.
So the first one in our horror category was Lovecraft County.
Or is it country?
Is it country county?
You wrote down county after we've been arguing about this. Because I think Lovecraft County sounds
right. It's country.
Right, but it's country. And I think the craft and the country really clash together. But regardless of that, it is a really, really good show.
Okay, if you know what H.P. Lovecraft, who he is, it's kind of like that. I mean, it's H.P. Lovecraft. And basically, it's about these people, Tick and the others.
Mm-hmm. Atticus and...
That's what I said. There's a lot of people on this list. I don't remember all their names. And basically, so they're going on this whole big adventure, trying to find his dad, and they find about magic, and there's all these different twists and turns to save the world, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And basically,
and sorcery.
Yeah, and I mean, that's basically what the show's about, without, like... There's a lot of twists and turns to give anymore.
No, but it's also a period piece. It's set in the 60s, and since all of the characters are essentially black, it really dives into the racial shit that happened in the 60s. Just
and
like
all the sexism.
How bad it was for a lot of people. And so, even though Umbrella Academy kind of touched on it with the person who...
I forget their names.
But there's specifically one black character in Umbrella Academy who has to deal with it. All of the characters in Lovecraft Country are. And so there's no avoiding it. And it's really one of the staples and the theme of the show. The next one on the list was You. And that's on Netflix. There's two seasons out of that. It follows our main character.
Joe,
he is a serial killer who falls in love and stalks women. And then he ends up killing people in order to get with them. Whether it's to get rid of an old lover or to defend them when something goes wrong. And even in the end of the first season, he ends up killing his love, Beck. Not to be confused with Love from the second season, who is his love interest. Who also has a twin brother named 40, who is a real fucking mess and thinks he wants to be a superstar in Hollywood. He wants to be like a screenwriter.
Something else.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's all, what is he, like on crack or something?
I don't remember.
All you know is he's not sober and his drugs really get in the way of him being a productive individual. But they're rich, which means that he can... skate by on daddy's wealth and not worry about it. What do you like about You?
I mean, I like Joe.
Well, obviously. He's a serial killer. You love serial killers.
I know Penn Badge is like, don't be like all into Joe and whatnot. But like, how can you not look at him? He's so sexy.
He's like hiding behind your shower curtain while you take a poo. And it's like, oh my god, he's so attractive.
Like, I don't want to actually date Joe. Like, I don't. But in the show, he is an attractive villain.
Yes. He isn't predatory, per se, right? He actually is quite, like, standoffish.
I mean, sometimes he can be.
Right, but he plays it so that he's not overly aggressive. He kind of creates a situation where he lets the ladies come to him.
I don't know. He killed Peach in the first season.
He's very manipulative, though.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him so intriguing.
Oh, I 100% get why, like, it is the way it is. Mm-hmm. And he does try to be better in the second season. He tries not to, but it's
But damn it, Love, if you're not a crazy bitch, too.
Yeah. I mean, at the end, we find out Love is just as crazy. Joe thought he was going literally crazy because he couldn't remember killing this girl. And it's because, spoiler alert, he didn't.
It was his love.
Who's now pregnant with his crazy baby.
And now he's like, I've got to get away from her. It's like, this is a match made in heaven, asshole.
You got everything you wanted.
Exactly. You don't have to murder. She don't have to murder because y'all are together. Y'all can be happy.
Y'all can be crazy together.
And if the kid has a childhood bully, you just kill his mom. Right? Like, that's just who you are. You have a good thing for going for you.
At the end of season two, he's already looking at the neighbor as his next.
Yeah, because he's... I liked Joe until then. What a dick.
I know. That was real dickish.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, you have the perfect life. You're moving into the suburbs. You have a white picket fence.
You have money.
And now you're like looking at the neighbor like, I'm a boner and then I'm a killer. Like, the fuck is your problem, dude?
So the next one was kind of not as horror-y, more fantasy, but we still put it in the horror, called Carnival Row.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a fantasy series where there are fairies... and humans, and the fairies are kind of seen as second-class citizens. Again, there's a lot of racism in it. But it's also about Orlando Bloom, who is a human. Well, we find out he's half-human.
But he passes human, so he's human.
He's a detective trying to find a serial killer who is murdering... Right. I mean, mostly fairies, but they does murder some humans.
And that's the whole reason it went in horror. I thought it kind of belonged in sci-fi, but considering that it is about murder...
A lot of murder.
There's a lot of death, and there's a lot of terrible things that happen to these people. It is pretty scary. There's some scary stuff in this show. But Carnival Row is... It also has a lot of romance in it. There's one where there's a fawn, or a puck, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, puck is the racist name.
Yeah, but they call them pucks. Because they're still not integrated into society.
But he's a fawn.
He's a fawn. And he kind of falls in love with this rich... white lady who lives in a big house, and he came into a lot of money by selling out other fawns.
Well, it turns out maybe she's not as rich as she would like to appear.
Right, and so, like, they kind of start falling in love. The main romance is between Orlando Bloom and Cara DeVangeline, who we don't really like, but in this I actually think she does a really good job. Because of all the romance and because it's on Amazon Prime, they're able to be a little bit more sexual with it. They have a lot of sex scenes and they integrate the fantasy elements there.
Not like HBO level nudity, but...
No, but they definitely have sex scenes that do have frontal nudity. So, I mean, it's not exactly family friendly, but it's about a serial killer. So, really, it wouldn't be family friendly anyway.
How many horror series are family friendly, really?
Yeah.
I mean, the next one on our list kind of is Lock and Key.
Lock and Key was too creepy for a family show.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, it probably would give kids a nightmare. Yeah. We don't have kids. I don't know.
There's a lot of, like, ghosts. Well, not really ghosts, but, like, demon types in this show.
It's based on a comic by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Basically, their dad is murdered. And the mom and the three kids all move into the dad's family house. Mm-hmm. I guess because they can't afford their old house. I don't know.
But the house is kind of cursed.
It has all these keys.
And the keys always open up different things. And it's not just doors within the house. Some keys can open any door. Some keys can unlock the brain. Some keys can...
Like, take you anywhere you want.
Create fire. Like, there's all sorts of things. And each key has a different purpose. And mm-hmm. a different hole to put it in. Or... In some cases, the key actually creates keyholes depending on the situation.
And they soon become aware that there's, like, these demon lady trying to get all the keys.
Yeah, and because if she gets the right keys, she can destroy the world. And there's a shadow key where she can create, like, shadow...
Monsters?
Shadow monsters out of herself. The real big one is a teleportation key, because if she knows where they are, she'll just be able to use the teleportation key... To go where she needs to go, pick up this key, kill whoever had it, and then move on to the next one. Kind of like Horcruxes. You know, it's a really unique show.
Mm-hmm.
And because it has kids or teenagers as the main characters, very often good horror has kids as the protagonist because kids are easily scared. Kind of like in Stranger Things. Stranger Things would not be as good a show if adults were the only ones who were discovering the monsters. Because people don't believe kids.
Yeah, and it kind of ended on a cliffhanger. With the monster, they think she's dead, but she's not really dead. Remember, she, like, took... There's a key that changes your form, and mm-hmm. it can change you into whoever, like, you want to look like.
Yeah, so. And so she ended up, like, masquerading as somebody... No, she had someone else masquerade as her.
And threw them in.
And then they ended up getting killed.
They threw them into the Omega Door.
Yeah.
You have to watch it all relatively close together, or it won't make a lot of sense.
They kind of...
They jump around a little bit, but it makes sense when you're watching, but it is a lot to go back and be like, what? But I thought it was really good.
So the last one on the horror list is going to be American Horror Story. And that's one that it changes every single season, and it normally comes on FX. But we watched 2 seasons of it this year.
I believe we watched 7 and 8.
Yeah. We watched the one that was about the apocalypse and the one that was about the cult. Cult? I don't want to say that it was the perfect season to watch this year, but...
But I think we're the only ones that didn't like Cult that much. Like, there were a lot of people that thought it was one of the best seasons, and I just didn't...
It wasn't scary enough. It had a good story, but it wasn't scary enough, because real life is a cult right now. You look on the news, and you're like, look at these cult people. Apocalypse felt, like, fantastic, like it couldn't happen. Like, Cult was just too real for me.
But, and then season 8 was... The apocalypse.
That one
was so good.
Yeah.
Basically, it starts off with a nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah, straight out the gate. Like, within the first 10 minutes, the whole world is up in nuclear waste.
And then they end up in this bunker that apparently has been set aside for them because they're rich as hell. Then, like, it basically kind of goes from there with the... And you find out the witches come back.
From season three.
And there's, like, the Antichrist, and it's a whole thing.
It ties in the hotel season 5 briefly. It ties in season 1. And so I think, I'm not sure what they did with season 10.
I know that it's going to be, like, a big anniversary season. They haven't put it out yet.
So we're up to date.
We're on, no.
Oh, what, I'm at 9.
We're at 9. 9 was 1987.
Right, and we have not done that one
yet. We are going to watch it before season 10.
But yeah, like, season 8 was just such a good culmination of the... Even though it left out one or two of the seasons, it was really a great way to kind of blend together the fact that this does exist in one universe.
Oh my god, it's 1984, not 7.
God, why is everything 1984 nowadays?
I don't know. I guess that's a good year for murder.
For murder. Well, or for superhero movies. The whole season, I felt, was just a really good love letter to the previous seasons by tying them all in and saying, no, these are still relevant. They don't just exist in a bubble.
I hear some of our old, the old cast members are going to be back in season 10.
Top 3.
We put American Horror Story as 3 simply because...
It has a lot of variety, but it is very scary.
Even though every season isn't the best ever, but I mean, that's not possible. It's still good. Every time they get top quality actors and Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Damn, if she don't be killing it all the time.
No, but it's such good variety. If it's like, I want something horror, you can turn that on and you'll always get something different.
I decided that You was 2.
Which, because serial killers, you love You. Like me, I loved Carnival Row, but real talk, You was definitely a good horror thriller series. And 1 was Lovecraft Country. Like, so good.
It was crazy. Monsters out the wazoo, like crazy twists and turns, magic, devils, like, it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely something else.
And it was interesting, and it had definitely a lot of unique twists and turns.
I'm ready for season 2, definitely.
All right, so before we get to the honorable mentions, or the best show of 2020, in our opinion, we're going to talk about streaming networks as a whole. Since most of us were pretty much exclusively streaming this year.
Unfortunately.
It is what it is. There's so many streaming networks out there. There's a ton. We have just a few on our list of ones we watched at least one show, if not more. So let's start. We had Hulu, which is like...
Everything that's come on TV, they'll stream it. Like, there's some Hulu originals, sure.
Not as many as Netflix.
But Hulu really banked on the fact that it'll come on TV today, and by tomorrow it'll be on their network and you can watch the episode that you missed.
Right.
So it's really great for people who maybe work a different shift and they can't watch things as they premiere live.
They also have like an option where you can get live TV through Hulu, which I think is pretty cool. Hulu starts, should we start with have price points in here or no?
If you want.
Hulu's around $5.99 for a month for just at their basic plan. And then you've got Netflix, which is almost, it doesn't really
It's become a whole thing.
Yeah, Netflix is a whole, it's its own thing.
And it used to be like, oh, you'll, like we were saying, get a DVD in the mail. It's so interesting. It's an alternative to something like Blockbuster or Family Video.
Right.
And now it's like, you don't have Netflix? What do you watch? How do you survive?
How do you live without Netflix?
Yeah.
And it's definitely going more and more towards Netflix originals. Like, this year, they are going to put out a new movie, Netflix-wise, every week. Which is a lot. That's a lot of movies.
Oh, okay. Look at some of the previous stuff that we looked at, okay? The Fun and Games. Two of the shows of the five, or actually three of them, were on Netflix. Docuseries. Three of them.
Netflix.
Or, no, four of them, actually, were on Netflix. Three of the reality shows were on Netflix. Horror, two of them... No, actually... Yeah, two of them were on Netflix. Like, a great bulk of the stuff we watched actually was accessed through Netflix, and they were all originals.
So Netflix starts around $8.99 a month. Yeah. A little more, but it's definitely got a huge variety. And then you had Quibi.
Oh, God.
Quibi no longer exists.
Yeah, Quibi was... Essentially, they wanted to say, you have 10 minutes to watch something, you're waiting in line or whatever. Hey, watch yourself a Quibi episode. And most of the shows only had like 6 or 8 episodes, so if you put them end to end, they were really only about the length of a movie.
But just nobody cared. They had all these stars that did stuff for Quibi, and nobody cared. The only one we watched was Die Hard, and it was okay, but it wasn't like amazing.
It wasn't worth purchasing Quibi for.
No, even though Quibi was $4.99 a month with ads and $7.99 a month without, it still wasn't
more expensive
even,
than Hulu.
Like, it's not even worth it. So then you've got like Amazon Prime. Now Amazon Prime is interesting in that it's not just streaming. Amazon Prime also includes a lot of discounts on shopping, and it includes like free shipping and stuff. So
yeah, Amazon's this huge big thing, and so it's almost like a bonus, right? It's like you have Amazon Prime, so you also get to watch our movies and our get music. I think Amazon Prime Music is a thing too.
Yeah, but you can do just the video. If you're just looking at video, it's only $8.99 a month. But honestly, it's kind of worth it, like, to just do the whole thing, which is only $12.99 a month. I think it's cheaper if you do, like, pay on a yearly basis.
And, I mean, full disclosure, we kind of go halvesies with our sister across the board. So, like, we pay for Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus, and then we have access to her
Amazon Prime.
So, really, we all get something out of it, because not only do we get to watch Amazon Prime.
They pay for their own Netflix.
Yeah.
She uses our Hulu and Disney Plus, and we use her Prime.
That's what it was. But yeah, but Disney Prime also has the added-on discounts and 2-day shipping of Amazon product. I think we come out ahead. Like, I think we do okay, because we got Disney Plus for so cheap.
Yeah.
Speaking of Disney Plus.
And Disney Plus runs about $6.99 a month.
We got it for cheap.
We did get it for cheap.
We got it for like $4 a month, because we went in really early and we're members of the D23 base club.
Which, if you don't know, it's actually free to sign up for. There are like membership versions of it that cost. But I definitely recommend signing up for the D23 if you're a Disney fan. It's free. You get a lot of the Disney news faster. There's a lot of contests they do. They do one a month where you can win these really cool prize packages. Normally, Disney runs $6.99 a month or $70 a year. I think we paid $140 and we got 3 years.
3 years. So, right, doing the math, it really turns out to be, like, next to nothing per month. And
Disney streams every Disney movie, almost every. They ain't got Song of the South.
Right, no, but they have a lot of not only the stuff that's come out in theaters, but a lot of the Disney Channel original stuff, as well as things that they've accumulated from other networks. Like, they bought out Fox.
So they now are moving all their Fox stuff to Disney.
You have X-Men and Fantastic Four, as well as The Simpsons, and Die Hard is going to be coming out. They're going to have an adult-only section coming out soon.
So they can put Deadpool and
Yeah, and
stuff.
R-rated type stuff on there. So they're looking to expand, and I think 2021 is definitely going to be a good expansion on Disney+.
If you are looking for horror, I would recommend Shudder. It is an exclusive horror streaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically Netflix for horror movies.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different stuff. And even though we just recently got Shudder,
we'd been watching Shudder stuff.
Yeah, we didn't realize some things were Shudder. Like, there was a movie that we saw called Porno, not a porno, but it was an original made on Shudder, and we didn't realize that until after the fact. There's also shows like Cursed Films. We originally saw a couple episodes streaming on AMC, I think. Mm-hmm. And we realized later that they were on Shudder, and so we watched almost the whole season
and
on Shudder.
Eli Roth's History of Horror.
That's Shudder too?
Yeah.
So that's not straight on AMC.
AMC and Plus and Shudder, like, they kind of go hand in hand. AMC, I don't know if they're owned by the same company, but I know
they have to be.
I know they share a lot of content.
That makes sense.
Shudder runs $5.99 a month, but if you really like it, do their free trial. And if you like it, I would just pay for a year. It's only $56.99 for a whole year, and that ends up being less than $5 a month. Shudder is really cool. We are definitely thinking about investing in it.
We recently just watched Cannibal Holocaust, and that's one of those... No, that's one of those movies...
It's fucked up.
It's been banned a lot of places because it's so fucked up. Because there's, like, real animal death. There's...
Fun fact, people thought it was real. They thought they'd kill people to make this movie. And, I mean, some of the violence looks, like, incredibly real.
And very graphic rape, and it's just really, really scary.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Not at all. And we also just recently saw another movie we're going to cover probably... You think we're going to cover it?
Yeah,
in
we
the,
should. It yeah. was super good. It's called Host.
And it's all about a horror, like a demon summoning
Zoom.
Over Zoom. And it's a really interesting concept. So, definitely that's going to be... That's one of our new... Well, at least one of your new obsessions. You're going to love Shudder.
I've already watched a bunch of stuff on there.
Okay, and finally we have HBO Max. And the appeal of HBO Max is that I always thought growing up HBO was one of those rich kid things where it's like, oh, you have HBO, you have all this extra money to throw around.
Well, let me say, we were really excited. My uncle started working for the cable company, and he hooked us up with free HBO, and we were like, oh my god, we can watch all the... Because back then, it was a lot more movies that you could stream, you remember?
Yeah.
They didn't make as... I mean, they made new shows, but it was a lot of, like, you could watch a lot of the fancy movies and all that stuff.
See, all I cared about was, like, those dirty flicks that came on at, like, 1 in the morning, right? So you have to stay up super late.
I remember when you could just stream Harry Potter on...
Yeah. But with HBO Max, it really kind of goes to the heart of what are you getting? Well, you're getting all the movies at your fingertips that they would stream on HBO, as well as bringing in the DC. They had the DC fandom or whatever it was called, where they had all this original shit, and they stopped doing that, but all that content went to HBO Max. So things like Teen Titans and Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing, which I think just got picked up by CW.
Yeah.
All these different things got put into HBO Max, which, if you're a comic book fan and you like DC, that's really good for you, especially coming this March when we're going to have... Zack Snyder's Justice League come out, and that's going to be a big event that everyone's going to be excited for.
So HBO Max, if you don't have HBO on your cable, runs $14.99 a month.
But if you do have HBO...
It's included.
Right, and it's a freebie just for anybody who has it. Rank them. Obviously, Quibi is going to be low, and Shudder's still fairly new to us, so that's not going to rank too
Next
high.
Next year, Shudder might rank higher. We'll see.
Yeah, and HBO Max will all depend on the type of...
The dog just came up here so she could burp. She went... She jumped in his lap, and then she goes...
Anyway, back to HBO. It really all depends on the type of content they have this next year and how much DC impresses us.
We'll see.
All right, Amazon Prime.
It's good. I mean, if you're using Amazon Prime for, like, shopping, it's great.
And they do have some really good shows.
They do. But honestly, it's just not our favorite yet. And
yeah.
They're getting there, though.
Especially The Boys. And, like, just to kind of go sideways, the PSN, the PlayStation Network, they had that show Powers, and I thought they were going to, like, take off, but turns out they didn't really have anything on PlayStation Network. And so I'm glad Amazon Prime, which is for everybody,
still has superhero stuff.
The
appeal of PlayStation was more the online gaming, because it comes with, like, PlayStation Gold and stuff.
Yeah, I don't do that shit. Okay, so top three.
We put Hulu as number three simply because it has ads.
Yeah, like, boo ads.
I ain't here for the ads. Like, I think you can pay for the... It's too much. It's too much of a difference when the no ads. I don't remember what it is, but it's not...
Yeah, it's definitely a rip. Second place would be Disney Plus, and even though it's amazing and we really love some of the stuff they put out, there's Forky Ask a Question, there's all sorts of fun stuff. There was no Marvel this year, and that was really disappointing because they had the content, but because they pushed back Black Widow... Unfortunately, and so all the stuff that tied in, they didn't want to give spoilers away. I think this year Disney Plus will rank higher until they have more MCU. Second place. First place?
Netflix.
Yes.
They were killing it on the reality show game this year. Like, I don't know who was like, Netflix, well, y'all, we should do cheap reality shows, but, like, they killed it. And they had some great docuseries come out this year. There was a lot of stuff that I've been watching personally, if you're a true crime fan, Netflix just put out two really incredible true crime documentaries, one about Richard Ramirez and one about the Yorkshire Ripper. They're fantastic. Netflix was just really good this year. People complain and they're like, oh, a Netflix price rise. Like, bro, it's not that much.
It's worth it.
Just calm down.
Okay. Honorable mentions before we get to the best of 2020.
These are shows that we really liked, but they just didn't really fit in anywhere in the categories. So, Queen's Gambit was a fantastic show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was one of the only ones that I thought was considered a drama that belonged in a category, but with just one, it didn't really fit in with the rest of the sci-fi stuff. Anya Taylor-Joy does a fantastic job playing the part of a chess prodigy. She has a very unique journey as a character, and this is based on a book, so obviously they kind of drew off of the author's original vision. There's not a whole lot of, I don't know, I think the chess pieces on the ceiling was probably the most...
like CGI.
The CGI. But it's really more about storytelling and character building. You really start to relate to the things that she's going through as a character. So definitely a good drama series. Kind of like The Great on Hulu, but that's more of a historical thing. And near the end, that was a bit of a slog. Definitely Queen's Gambit is top of our drama list.
And then there was Disney Shorts, which were really great. You had everything from like the short Out and Pearl to the Pixar Short Circuits, which mm-hmm. were fantastic.
Yeah, they were only like 2 or 3 minutes a piece.
So there were a bunch of Disney Shorts that they just released that mm-hmm. they looked great. They were really sweet, and they were new, they were original, and they were fun. And then like Forky Ask a Question.
Yeah, that was a really fun one.
That was funny.
Yeah, and I think this year they're actually going to have more Pixar Shorts that are more based on the movies that were made. So there's probably going to be like a Bug's Life one or one about Doug. Like Disney Plus has announced a lot of different things designed for kids with short attention spans. So perfect for me.
And then we had Bite Size Halloween on Hulu, mm-hmm. which was great. It was just a couple minute long Hulu Halloween stories.
Yeah, kind of like the Disney Shorts, only instead of cartoons, it's horror. And they're all very concise. My favorite was Mime. It was a really fun one. It was like 2 minutes long, and this guy makes fun of a mime on the subway or at the train station.
Right.
And ends up getting tormented by them using invisible torture devices.
And they have everything from ghosts to monsters to just like
vampires.
Creepiness.
Really,
yeah.
Really fun stuff.
And then we had a show called Norsemen, which we wanted to include somewhere, but it just didn't really, like, it is a comedy.
But it's also foreign.
And it was just, it's a very unique show. We wanted to talk about it, but we just didn't have a place. It's basically about Vikings. They're just relentless. I mean, they're life. They're trying to live.
Yeah.
Like, foraging, pillaging.
Yeah, there's this one guy who's trying to take charge after his brother dies, and he's a total pansy ass, but he's trying to take care of these big, burly Vikings, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he ends up running them into the ground. Meanwhile, the guy who was supposed to be taking the throne, he's taking the back seat, in a way, and he's married someone who doesn't appreciate him. They have very different interests. One of the slaves is actually an artisanal, like, theater guy from Paris, and so he's trying to bring culture to the Vikings. Like, there's all sorts of stuff happening. Yes, it's foreign, but they speak English. Is it Norwegian?
I think so.
Okay. But it's a very fun show, but also kind of niche. It's not going to be widespread like something like Schitt's Creek. And next on the list we have Space Force, which was a Netflix show. And the premise is that the Space Force was formed by Trump.
It doesn't say that, but it does.
It is. Steve Carell was a, you know, four-star general in the Air Force. And instead of taking over the Air Force, they kind of transitioned him over to the Space Force. And he has to build it from the ground up, and it's a real clusterfuck.
I mean, it's funny, and I think I'll watch another season, but it wasn't, like, top-tier comedy.
Yeah, it was more of a situational,
it was funny.
Awkward comedy.
It'd be easier to laugh at it when we're talking less about real life.
Yeah, when it's in the past, when it's not so prevalent in everyday conversation. And lastly, I just added this in during because we have to talk about Supernatural.
It just ended
15 seasons.
Ago.
Yeah.
It broke my heart that it had to end. I understand that it was time, but it didn't make it easier. And it's been a big part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a big part of particularly my life for such a long time. The stars are amazing.
Mm-hmm. We've met most of the big stars. We've been to conventions. We went and saw them at San Diego Comic-Con. We have merch.
I own a ton of Supernatural shirts. It's just been a big part of our lives.
If you were ever to get a tattoo, it would likely be a Supernatural tattoo. Would you agree?
It would either be Supernatural or it'd be some mouse ears.
Or the dogs. Right, Supernatural was such a phenomenon. And you can stream it pretty much anywhere. I think season 15 is now...
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched Supernatural, there's...
Where have you been?
There's a lot to it.
And Jensen Ackles just won an award, like a Critics' Choice Award or People's Choice.
Now, and I understand this is a very long show that you may not want to start from the beginning, but if you know the basic premise of the show, I recommend looking up a top 10 episodes, because there's some really funny ones that you can just watch as a one-shot and kind of understand. Like, Scooby Natural's a fun one.
The French Mistake.
Yeah.
Changing Channels.
You know them by heart, right? There's really, really good ones.
Yeah.
So just look them up, and you'll be able to appreciate why fans love it so much. But now it's come down to it. The best of 2020. And so
we just took our top show out of each of the categories.
Right.
That's pretty much what we did.
Right. And so, just a reminder, the top six things we had was, for the Fun and Games category, we had Supermarket Sweep. In the documentary series, we had Tiger King, Joe Exotic Story. Reality show, we chose The Circle. In the comedy category, we had The Animaniacs. Under sci-fi, we chose The Mandalorian. And for horror, we chose Lovecraft Country. Of the six, what would you say is the third best show we watched this year?
We picked The Circle.
Okay.
Because it was just such a great reality show. It was so different than anything we'd seen recently. And it was compelling. I felt like the I felt like the people on the show were more genuine than a lot of reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it because they weren't trying to find love. Like, I hate those. Like, they're always like, we're going to be together forever. Like, how often are they together forever?
No, granted, there are a couple of people who do kind of get, like, romantically tied, even though Shoebomb has a realist appointment with Rebecca, who he kind of starts to fall for, sadly.
But it's not about that.
No, but the beauty of The Circle is that it's what everybody's trying to do online. They want to be more liked by other people. And so by making the premise, hey, be more liked by other people, you see how people are lying, starting to get alliances with people who they really don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, the concept was very on point for this year.
The second one, what would we pick for a number two show?
Number two show was Animaniacs. Pure childish fun.
It was just kind of a relief in the middle of a pandemic, which has been awful. It was kind of nice to just sit back and watch something that was just so fun. There's never any, like, sadness in Animaniacs, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was very nostalgic, but in the best way.
Mm-hmm. And even when it pokes fun at what's happening in, like, you know, current events and political stuff, it's in a way that you can laugh it off because it's a cartoon.
Well,
it's not depressing.
They also didn't know about COVID when they made it, so there are no COVID jokes.
None, but maybe in season two. What was our number one show?
The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Ugh, what a wonderful show.
It was just something, we put it as number one because
everybody
could not stop talking about it.
At work, that's the only show, that's the only thing we talk about. Monday morning, we're like, did you watch The Mandalorian?
And my sister still hasn't watched it. She literally owns a Baby Yoda shirt, and she still has not watched it.
Olivia, if you're listening to this, watch The Mandalorian.
Every time we see her, she goes, it's on my list. Well, bump it up a little bit, girl. Catch up. We catch up now before there's too many.
But I would not get any sort of merchandise for a show that I at least didn't know something about. I would have to see some of it in order to get merchandise for it, right?
I mean, yeah. We're just gonna beat her. She hasn't watched any MCU movies. She hasn't seen The Mandalorian.
Shameful.
She, like, lives in a rock.
Well, she lives in Indiana. A rock is on the other side of the world. That was a funny joke, damn it.
So that concludes our streaming awards. Dun dun dun!
Insert music here. Da, da,
da, da. I should have inserted some music to play you off a few times.
God, this is such a long episode, and I apologize beforehand. And we won't make
beforehand, it's after. It's okay. Too late.
and I would like to apologize after the fact for it being so long. Can't promise anything about the movie when being any shorter, because there's a lot to discuss there too. We'll just discuss how we'll move forward in the podcast on the next episode. But for now, thank you so much for listening. This has been Real Romance, the awards episode for streaming.
Follow us on all forms of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like our podcast, check out the other ones on Undercover Capes.
Yeah, if you want to reach out, I'm at Bamfing Bob on Twitter. She's at BookNerd528 on Instagram, at RealRomanceUCPN on Twitter, at RealRomance on Instagram and TikTok.
And Facebook.
And if you want to email us, it's RealRomancePod@gmail.com. We love you all. Thank you for letting us have a nice break during the holidays. And we're ready to get into season 3, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. See you on round 2. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Real Romance, brought to you by Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Please follow us on all of our socials and tune in next time, only on Real Romance.